episode 28 of Drunk on Comics, where the beer is free, but the containers they come in are $3.99. As we're getting shit thrown at the windows outside.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Ohio, everybody.
Ohio?
Ohio. Yeah, that's Japanese for hello.
Oh.
Technically, you're supposed to be saying that on the telephone, but it is appropriate enough for a lot.
I always, Japanese listeners.
I always thought it was mosh moshi.
That is the telephone. No, yeah. I'm saying good morning.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I learned that from like some stupid, I think, Pepsi commercial from back in the day.
I'm tying that intro, this intro, into what I'm going to be reviewing. So, Ohio. Welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Hey!
So this is our podcast about...
I'm sorry, Kevin, what were you saying?
I was just saying, if you guys didn't know, if our audience did not know, this is a podcast about comic books, conventions, and other things nerdy.
Nice.
You said it right.
Gratuitous
public nerdity.
Yeah.
Yay.
There's lots of that today.
So, yeah, that's Kevin. I'm Derek, and...
I am Tony.
How you doing, guys?
You're doing great today.
I think we just need to move right into the first segment. First thing we're going to do is Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf is brought to you this week by InterComics, your source for all your comic book needs. Find them online at inter-comics.com. They ship worldwide, so if you don't live in the UK, doesn't matter. They got great prices on their stuff. They also have tons of cool blogs. They have sketch battles. Like, you know, I don't know if like anybody gets, like, if the loser dies, but, you know, it'd be kind of cool if it was like a sketch battle to the death. But, you know, but anyway, no, check them out. They're a hell of a fun site. They got lots of great stuff. So, Off the Shelf, we do have a spoiler warning, though.
We're going to spoil the shit out of some comic books today.
Yeah, so... You know, like, if you want to read your comic books first, because you're going to be pissed later, like, if we talk about The Walking Dead, like, I don't know, Inter Comics, who, oops, sorry about spoiling that one for you. But you're a comic shop, you should have read it. but, yeah, so we spoil shit, so don't be surprised. So,
sometimes I want to spoil shit for them and just not give them that little speech, be like, oh, shit, we had this thing we had to say before this. Oops.
I think we kind of have once or twice.
And we could totally edit it in later, but we just choose not to.
Well, that'd be difficult, and it cuts into drinking time.
Yeah, true.
All right, Tony, you want to kick off the shelf for us this week?
Yeah. Going with the whole Marvel Now right now, there's a ton of new books coming out.
There are?
Yes.
Oh.
They're coming out, like, right now, too. And one of the new ones that just came out is Thunderbolts, number one, for this new series, written by Daniel Way, art by Steve Dillon. And my brother actually picked this one up because he wanted me to say. Cover was by Julian...
No, that's the Scotty Young cover.
Oh, this cover says in here. Okay.
That's the Scotty Young cover.
The
baby variant.
Okay, it is the baby variant. And it's so cute. My brother wanted to say, look at little baby Deadpool and Elektra and Hulk is like Hulk...
Hulk sad.
Yeah.
But it's Red Hulk.
Yes. Anyways, Daniel Way, who, one of the reasons why I read this too, Daniel Way is one of my favorite writers, coming off the Deadpool series, so I'm glad to see that he can do more than just with Merc with the Mouth. He's got just a phenomenal, I don't know what you'd call it.
Guy's got chops.
Yes, he's got a good direction on what he wants to do, and this first book starts off excellent. The whole thing is about trying to enlist Frank Castle to join the Thunderbolts. And with it, you have Thunderbolt Ross. Spoiler alert, he's the Red Hulk.
It doesn't make sense because the Red Hulk doesn't have a mustache, but anyway.
And the one telling thing actually through this entire thing that I want to point out was he's showing himself as Thunderbolt Ross. Now, I don't know necessarily if when he showed himself recruiting other people that they also know, oh, he's also the Red Hulk, or they're just seeing him as a human. But a lot of people think he's dead, and very few people know who the Red Hulk is. I know Captain America does, there's certain Avengers, but there's also certain Avengers who don't know that he's Thunderbolt Ross. So it's kind of telling in the direction that they're doing with this, is he going to be seen as a human civilian and secretly coming out as the Hulk? He obviously showed himself to Frank Castle, but but he didn't really Hulk out to the other people that he was recruiting. Through this whole recruitment process of trying to get Frank Castle while all these people were going to storm the doors, he gets Scarlet Spider-Man, he gets Deadpool, he gets Elektra.
Was that Scarlet Spider? Because, I mean, I'm a little...
Actually, no, you're right. It was Venom, because he revealed his face from the...
His stickiness.
Yeah. So, I'm corrected there, even though I think Scarlet Spider would be a way cooler, because Venom, after that last whole Carnage thing...
See, I don't follow Venom, so, like, I mean, I thought it was cool, because it's kind of a reintroduction to me of Venom. I mean, I remember Venom from way back in the day. And so,
one of the things that I loved the most was when he was recruiting Wade Wilson,
aka Deadpool.
Yes, Deadpool is fighting the Mime Mob, which was an awesome story arc in the last series of Deadpool. So that I don't know.
That it's a nice tie-in too, though.
Oh, there was more to it than just random appearances by
mimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That had a whole story arc, which was excellent. And they had power somehow when they did shit that happened in real life, and lighten a bomb, throw it, and a bomb, kind of. So, anyways, who was the last one? You got Elektra. And that was about it for the team that they have right now. Very great introductory of who some of these characters are. It doesn't necessarily tell what the whole premise of the book going to be, but if it's like any of the other Thunderbolts, it's taking some reformed, you know, vigilante people, putting them on a team, and then going out and blowing up shit. So, I have a great faith in Daniel Way to flesh out this story and just make it even more awesome than this first book was.
Now, the art on this was Steve Dillon, by the way, which we got to meet Steve a while back, and they worked on some Wolverine stuff back in the day, too. I think it was Wolverine Origins that the two of them paired up on, if I'm remembering right. So, nice artwork by him, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good book. I'm excited about it. And, to me, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Uncanny X-Force. And it's going to be this Black Ops type team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, you look at all the characters in there, and I don't really know about Red Hulk, but it's one of those things where it's like, cool, everybody else in there I know is willing to kill. So, you know, I'm excited about it.
Yep. Well, Derek, what did you read this week?
This week, you know, I got to say, it was a tough decision for me to pick out what I wanted to talk about, because there were a lot of really good books that came out this week, and we're going to kind of touch on some of them later. But the one that I had to do, I mean, ultimately, I had to pick the best of the bunch, and that was Daredevil End of Days, number 3 of 8 from Marvel Comics. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis and David Mack. The art was done by Klaus Janson, Bill Sienkiewicz, David Mack, and Matt Hollingsworth. And if any of you listeners haven't been reading this book, you really need to. Daredevil, I'll give you a little background. Daredevil was killed by Bullseye in an all-out street brawl, and the last word he spoke was Mapone. Ben Urich, who is the reporter of Daily Bugle, has been trying to unravel like the last few years and months of Daredevil's life, and also find out who or what Mapone is. So this issue kind of finds Ben tracking down more of Matt Murdock's past loves and sometimes foes, particularly Elektra, Typhoid Mary, and Echo. So far, about all Ben's really been able to find out is that, and he found out some of this, like, you know, from Matt's ex-wife Mila in the previous issue, and then in this issue, both Elektra and Mary, there's a bunch of redheaded kids running around.
No.
And so, you know, you add in the fact that they touch on his tryst with Echo in here, and it kind of appears that DD may have stood for Deep Dickin' as much as it stood for Daredevil.
He's a slut.
Yeah, he's getting around. So, you know, I don't know, maybe he's got the nose for when the pheromones are going off, yeah. I mean, with his super senses. But anyway, seriously, though.
I hear a hollow vagina.
That needs to be filled. Oh, God. So, seriously, though, no. So far, who or what this word Mapone is still remains unknown. And it appears, unknown to Ben, that Daredevil is actually tracking him. Which, how that's possible when people witnessed and even recorded his death in the streets is still anybody's guess. This is one of the most wonderfully written mysteries I have ever read in comic book format. And you add in the amazing artwork from Jansen and the absolutely stunning painted pages from David Mack. You've got a comic book that literally transcends the superhero book and just becomes an instant classic. Without a doubt, this is the best series I think that's come out in 2012. And that's saying a lot because there have been some really, really damn good books this year.
I guarantee you Mappone is going to be the maker of his walking stick.
Interesting, but I highly doubt it. It's the brand name.
Yeah.
Is that what you're, or maybe it's like his Wilson what's his name?
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, this book is probably as close to a film that's been drawn and written on a page as you can get. This creative team, they've mastered the craft of visual storytelling. So in case you guys couldn't already guess, I'm giving this book 2 mugs up. I mean, like 2 huge, big, massive motherfucking mugs up. So go buy it. Go buy the first 2 issues as well.
All right. Can I challenge you for a moment? If this book was so fucking awesome, why was there any debate between the other stuff you were debating against?
The debate about it was just because of the newsworthiness of Avengers Now, particularly the drama that's going on in Amazing Spider-Man.
Also the awesomeness of All New X-Men,
yeah. I mean, like that, it was kind of one of these questions of whether or not I should be reviewing one of these books that more people are talking about, or whether or not I should review the best book out there, and I decided I was going to review the best book out there, and that's what it boiled down to. But, I mean, the stuff in here, it's just fucking gorgeous, and I'm actually going to open this up, Kevin, so you can see some of these, because, I mean, these pages are just beautiful. It's not a normal comic book. I mean, there
seems like a very take a long time to draw some of those panels.
Well, those are painted. Those are the David Mack pages. Now, these are the Klaus Janson pages, which are drawn. But, I mean, I am just stunned by some of the artwork that's in here. I mean, it's just, I would love to own the original of this stuff, but there's no way in hell I can actually afford it, I'm sure. So that's my pick for off the shelf. Listeners, you really, really need to go buy this. I said it when I reviewed the first one. I think that this is going to be kind of the equivalent of what Frank Miller's Dark Knight was to Batman as far as what this is going to be for Daredevil. It's that good.
I feel guilty about what I purchased this week then.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, what do you got for us?
Okay. Well, I got to ask some questions because I'm just curious, George, and needs to know.
Okay. Don't go with the man in the yellow hat.
Is Vertigo, they're owned by DC, aren't
Vertigo
they?
Is owned by DC,
okay,
yes.
Now, do you guys like lump Vertigo with DC?
I don't. I say they're independent.
Okay.
I mean, they have a lot of better, well, closed worlds than DC. I mean, the DC universe has all their shit in their universe. Vertigo is, you know, it's that book, it's that world, it's that writer's.
Okay. Yeah, because I haven't read much about with Vertigo. Sandman was Vertigo, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that was about the only thing I've actually read that. And
Hellblazer was one that you may have read.
BRPD?
No, that's Dark Horse.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I haven't read any of it, but, okay. One more question. A couple podcasts ago, you guys were giving me shit about picking something that's been actually collecting dust on the shelf. Not, like, new off the shelf. So I was actually starting to look at dates, and the first one I grabbed said November 12th. Okay, that was a DC title.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, but then I start looking at some of the other dates, and I'm like, well, all the new stuff says February 13th.
Oh, what the?
Yeah, so Green Lantern.
You traveled through time and got the February edition of this book.
Okay, so it's just not me that
what
seems
the
like
hell?
This is weird. Yeah, no, all the current DC titles say
it does, and even in the fine print in the back, it says February 2013.
Yeah, it's crazy because I still subscribe to a bunch of magazines, and they say the current month on it,
or maybe the coming month. You know,
yeah,
a lot of times
or I take that. So that That was really weird, so...
They know that because the Mayan calendar is going to end, they need to push February's out to say, we were the first to get our February edition out.
Just completely for bragging rights.
You know,
so when aliens come to our scorched earth, they see this one comic book made in February. These were the last publishers alive.
And they're like going, they were clearly the superior publisher.
So
that is fucked up, though.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's talk about the comic book.
Yeah, I got so many questions. Okay. What I picked up was Ferrist.
Yep.
Have you guys heard of Ferrist at all?
I've heard of it. I've never read it.
I grabbed it. I'm like, oh, there's a chick on the cover. I got some nice side boob.
I love it. Read it. I haven't read that one yet.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Okay. So, all right. Written by Lauren Bukes.
Okay.
Arts by Ankari Miranda.
Okay.
Eva Delarue's doing the colors.
All right.
Okay. So, all right. So this story takes place in Japan.
Moshi.
It's a story about Rapunzel.
Well, and you jumped right in on issue 10 of 13. Is it 10?
No, 10. Published in February 2013.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
And I don't know what the hell is going on.
I can tell you.
Tony, why don't you give a little
back? Here, let me give you an idea of what's going on. Okay, so you got... And now I hear what your take on this. So, page 2, I'm already like, what the fuck? They're riding around on a big, huge cat. And this actually, it took me...
Sorry. I love Kevin reads his books on air, basically. It's like my favorite part. Keep going.
All right, that's the story. They're riding a big cat, and I don't know what the hell's going on. Review over. No.
Did you like it?
No.
No. You don't know?
No. So, Rapunzel is in modern-day Japan, hooking up with this guy, and that's about all I know. Started off with a big fight, bloody fight. Someone died but came back to life.
Oh, so they're comic book dead.
They're comic book dead. And Rapunzel was a slut and had a baby.
Nice.
They faded back to like her actual world. So somehow she grew up in like another reality or alternate universe, came to our timeline, and now there's all these other fictional characters. I figured there's a Rapunzel, there's got to be like a Snow White or Rumpelstiltskin eventually. And this was probably maybe not for jump into.
It wasn't.
Because I don't really know what's going on. And
the art's pretty. Yeah, it's very detailed.
Yeah, I like the art, and I mean they're not shying away from vulgar language, and because I mean Vertigo
it's their mature, I shouldn't say necessarily to say adult, but it's their mature title. And I'll tell you one thing, looking at that, I love the fact that it's not on glossy pages. I like the fact
I never even noticed that until you mentioned
that.
Well,
that's why I looked over and I actually had to touch the page because
okay.
I don't care for the glossy pages myself. I mean, there are some exceptions to it. Aspen Comics, for instance, has a very, very thick, heavy stock, so I don't mind them as much. But, like, a lot of the other ones are very thin and they're see-through. So, I prefer a matte stock where you don't get as much of that. Even if it's a little thinner paper.
Okay, well here's where I think people would enjoy this. Just from my impression with this, is if you like manga, if you like stories about like Grimm's fairy tales, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, then I could see that this series might be up your alley.
Yeah.
Now, Tony, you've read,
or if you've read the series and know what's going on, it's fucking phenomenal. This Ferris comes out of Fables. Fables being one of the top three comic book series I've ever read. The other one being Sandman and Lucifer.
When was Fable made? Was this like?
Oh, Fables is still going on.
It's still going on.
Yeah, okay. This is an offshoot series of it. Fables had Fables was the original series, which is still ongoing, and then they had Jack of Fables, which was a side story, and then they kind of cut that. They also had one other side. Oh, Cinderella. There's following her. And now they have Ferris, which is going into more of the princesses. When my brother comes here sometime and the new Fables comes out, I'll totally school you in how awesome the world is. But to give you a quick synapse, the worlds of all these fairy tale people were overtaken. They sought shelter in New York, Manhattan. They have magic to kind of, you know, put them away from the Mundy world and hide them. That shit kind of happened, broke up, so they've had to scatter. And there's other fairy tales around the world. There's Prince Ali Ababa. There's any of the other type of fairy tales, The Wizard of Oz. Any story you've read, these people are real. And with being real, as you said, comic book dead, the more your story's told, the more kind of powerful you are. Yes, these people can die, but they kind of have a little more...
A little closer to immortal.
Will peril, yeah. Immortality, as long as their stories are good. So there is a Snow White. She's in the main series. She's married to the Big Bad Wolf. The interconnection of all these tales, the memorabilia, or any of this, like the Yellow Brick Road, how they tie into the overall worlds of, you know, and everything. And so this is just another extension of that series. So to give you that, you're saying, you know, how she's in Japan or she's got a kid and stuff. Knowing maybe a little bit that these people are misplaced fairy tale people living in the real world because their home worlds were destroyed is the reason why she's probably in Japan. And I do know why she's going after the kid, because she just found out it was alive from back in the day when the Empire took over.
Okay.
Overall, though, if you start reading this series...
So they do explain more depth. That's kind of like the upcoming... where the story's going. Because in the story, she's giving birth. Her kids were taken away at after birth. And she hasn't seen them since. So they're going to expand greatly upon that. Obviously.
Yes. And my brother's got the series, so I will steal them and let you read them. Because it is... hands down, one of the best series ever. And then that just being an extension of it just makes the world more fleshed out.
Well, yeah, I mean, your explanation has me intrigued. So I'd say, I mean, something along this might be some a lot of people's alleys, but don't start at 10. Or find some back issues.
Don't head towards the future and... Yeah, the timeline.
Avoid the future.
I think that's what your problem is, Kevin. You're starting in February 2013.
Yeah. See. Now you guys ribbing me for going too far back. now you're giving me shit for going too far forward.
Well, yeah, but see, like I swear to God, you've got time travel capabilities, because I get a text saying leaving now to come here and record, and then the door opened. So you're magic, Kevin.
Portals.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
All right. Tony, let's kind of touch on a couple of the comics real quick that we did briefly mention. Let's kick off with Avengers number 1 from Jonathan Hickman, written by and Jerome Opeña art. Just, we'll kind of give quick, brief rundowns. Why don't you kick this off? Because I'll be honest, I was a little bit lost on what's going on here, because I don't know if these are, these are previous characters that I'm not familiar with.
Oh, that's the one thing that I'm confused about. I don't know who these bad guys are.
Okay.
And I hope to God they are new characters. I love new villains, new people, just having writers be creative to say, I'm going to make someone, and they're not just going to be a lonely villain. They're going to be an ongoing villain in a series.
Yeah.
That's what these people seem like.
Yeah.
I could be way off, and some issue back in the early 70s had these people... but I've never heard of them before.
Quick breakdown for people that haven't read this. There are some badass motherfuckers on Mars that are terraforming it. And the Avengers team of Iron Man, Cap, Thor, Hulk, Hawkeye, and I always want to call her Scarlet Witch because fucking Scarlet Johansson, but Black Widow. They go to kick their ass and ultimately get their asses kicked.
Yep. And then Captain America gets sent back to Earth as a warning saying,
we fucked you up, don't fuck with us because we're gonna anally rape your planet.
And ultimately that's what has made this new Avengers team, or pretty much they explained how there's a need to have many Avengers.
Yeah, in the last page of it, they have like all these Avengers that people may or may not have known were Avengers standing there. Now, I want to go through the people on this page because there's people here I don't have a fucking clue who they are.
Oh, I don't either, but I...
Well, I mean, you got Cap right in the middle. You got Spidey swinging back behind. You got Spider-Woman. You got Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Carol Danvers. You've got Falcon. You have... Is that Wasp in that fucked up costume off to Cap's...
I don't know who the fuck that is. But...
You got Wolverine, and then there's like, is that North Star maybe standing next to Wolverine with a different outfit?
Yeah, it looks like it.
But then there's like the guy standing next to him, the guy standing next to Wolverine, the guy standing behind Cap.
Cannonball. I don't know.
Oh, is that Cannonball?
Flying in the air.
Oh, yep. Okay, sorry. I didn't even look up at Cannonball. But the guy standing like in Cap's armpit and the chick flying up above him, I don't know who those people are.
Which chick? That chick?
The bluish chick.
That is the cosmic suit or whatever, the Enigma Force.
Okay,
that's just something that goes on to multiple different superheroes, so...
Okay.
Captain Universe, I think it's called.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a clue. But, I mean, it was cool. I don't think I'm going to continue on with it because this is more cosmic than I like, but you guys, I know you and your brother love the cosmic shit.
See, I don't see it being cosmic, but I see it, I mean... Well, it's not even cosmic, just Mars. It's one, you know, one planet over.
Yeah.
But...
Well, I think one of the reasons why I was disappointed is because when I looked on the cover, I see Cannonball there, I see Captain Marvel there, I see Wolverine there, and they aren't even in the fucking story. And that's where I was a little disappointed because, like...
They're on the last page. They're right there. We were Avengers.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I really wanted to see Captain Marvel and Cannonball being part of the story. I kind of think that...
Well, they're obviously going to be when they go get the other people on Mars.
But, I mean, I'm not going to pick up issue number 2, but I do think it was a really good issue. But I'm not picking it up just because the sheer volume of comics that I buy, you know?
I'm going to pick it up because I believe in Jonathan Hickman, and I found it pretty awesome.
I like his stuff, but, you know, I got lots more to go. Amazing Spider-Man. Let's go to that one. There is a fucking, like, shitstorm going on. People either love or hate Dan Slott right now, who wrote this, and, who did the art on this? Umberto Ramos did the pencils on this. Basically, the last issue, everybody thought Peter Parker died. This is, by the way, Amazing Spider-Man 699, number 700 is the very last Amazing Spider-Man. Everybody thought that Peter Parker died inside Doc Ock's body, but apparently they were able to resuscitate him. And so he kind of sent out, he managed to do...
Well, he found out how Doc Ock took over his body through slowly using some of Doc Ock's equipment.
Yep.
Pretty much made a spinal tap into his brain and cranked it to 11 and took over his head.
Yeah. And so now he's trying to do the exact same thing. He enlists the help of other supervillains to bust himself out of...
Well, what was telling of that, Scorpion, it was Scorpion, who else, Rhino, or Mysterio, maybe? Aquaman, some liquid person. But they were like, we need to get 2 more people, because they're on the Sinister Six mind point, like, you know, they just want to, we need to have 6 of us, let's get 2 more people out of here.
Yeah.
And it was something telling in this book, too, of Kurt Connors being really Kurt Connors. He's not truly the Lizard. He really got his sentience back.
Yeah, he's got his mindset back. The Trapster was one, but I can't remember what the hell his name was before, which was great because Spider-Man in Doc Ock's body is like going, can't believe I'm getting like, you know, like it was like Pot Sticker Pete or some shit like that. Yeah. What the hell was it? Oh, Paste Pot Pete was his previous name way back in the day.
Yeah.
But one of the big things about this that people are flipping out about is that Peter Parker was going back through Doc Ock's memories.
Yeah.
And there's this one brief little flash of Aunt May.
Well, there's a lot of him getting his ass kicked, so he's feeling it in the body.
Yeah, but the one thing that people are pissed about is this one fucking panel where it's before the ceremony of Aunt May marrying Doc Ock, and she's like, oh, come on, we can do this, nobody's going to know. And Peter Parker's like going, I didn't need to see that. And people are like, you're a sick fuck. Why? Like, they had sex before they got married. And he's like, goes, I never said they had sex. Like, I mean, there's this shitstorm coming at Dan Slott. I didn't read it that way. I read it as, oh, who cares? We're getting married. Come on, give me a little kiss type of thing. That's how I read it. And then when I see all these people going, oh, Aunt May got boned before her wedding. I'm like, what? But people are freaking out, going, Dan Slott, you ruined my childhood. And I'm like, but he made a great comment. He goes, whatever you read into it is in your own mind, not in mine.
Yeah, but
kudos to Dan Slott. You know, I mean, I think he did a great thing, you know. So, I'm sorry. But yeah, old people, seriously, somebody else wrote on there, and I don't remember who it was. I was reading all these articles. Somebody's like, seriously, you think 80-year-old Aunt May is going to be able to get in and out of her dress that fast?
All she had to do is take out her dentures.
Oh, give me a good gummer any day. Yeah.
I got four extra tentacles for you, too.
Yeah, so there's that. Tony, we have one more all-new X-Men that we need to touch on real quick. Okay, all-new X-Men written by Brian Michael Bendis. Art was by Stuart Immonen and Wade Von Graubadger. this book, number two, came out last week.
I fucking love the cover, though.
Yeah.
And you just think it's one of those where they embellish on the covers. Half the covers are people dying or, you know, their powers are beyond cosmic. Well, this is actually one of the first times that the cover art pertains to actually what's going on in the story. To give it, quite frankly, their powers are fucking up.
Yeah.
And that is an awesome way to start telling this story. As Derek blows his nose.
Oh, come on. I was trying to keep it quiet. it's the whiskey. It's getting me lubed up.
But obviously, Cyclops is on his mission to be making this revolution.
The thing that blew me away most in this book is where he's setting up the new school.
Oh, yeah. And
is in the Weapon X facility.
And what he named it is Charles Xavier School.
Yeah.
He can't let that go, so he's still going on. They break out Emma, and Emma's kind of like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, which is great.
He just keeps saying it was the Phoenix Force. It was the Phoenix Force. She goes, the Phoenix Force is what killed Professor X then. It wasn't you. No, it was the Phoenix Force.
Yeah,
A very telling thing that Magneto said. I kept saying it was, you know, because of the things that I lived through, the way that I was, you know, born and raised. You know, in Auschwitz and wherever.
Ultimately, it was me.
He goes, yeah, it was me. And I accepted that.
It was great because he's like going, suck it up. Own up to the fact that you fucked up. And now you got to make it right.
And also get my fucking powers back because they're not working right now. I'm pissed at you. You took away, one of the things he said, you took away my right.
Yeah, his birthright.
Yes.
As a mutant. Yeah.
And Cyclops' power is obviously freaking out, too. All of them are. They're wondering why Magix hasn't. And hers
Magix have gotten
increased.
Yeah. Yeah, which that's a little scary, because that bitch is fucking crazy.
How they're saying that they're wondering about Cyclops, or not Cyclops, Colossus, which is, he hasn't been seen in any of the pages of any of the X-books right now.
He was, well, they did show him in Consequences, I think it was, when they went looking for him. And it was Storm went looking for him, but then Magneto and Magic were also hiding in the background. But he had his powers, and they were working fine there. But then again, everybody else's powers were working fine at that point, too. So,
but I like how she was like, we don't want to find him. He goes, no, we should find him. He was one of us. She goes, no, he will kill you for what you did.
Yeah.
So a lot of awesomeness going on in these pages. And it's cool seeing them introduce new mutants, having them introduce new characters that can be brought apart later on. Obviously, the new mutant, this one, just could mimic someone's face or whatever. That was kind of
game. And their sound.
Yes. Yeah. But what was telling was this last page right here, when the old school class...
Little X-Men.
Yes, Little X-Men say, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, popping in on there. Yeah, and one of the things, because of the sheer number of comics I bought this week, I haven't even busted out the AR on this. I cannot wait to see kind of what ARs they have. So many of my books had it this week, but... So that's kind of the quick rundown on the other shit that we wanted to talk about.
yeah, that was quick.
Yeah, there was a lot this week. I mean, there really was a ton of shit that came out this week that was really good. So.
Well, we got the new. Let's travel back in time and check out Kevin the Long Box.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to dive too deep into the box. Actually, last podcast actually gave me the idea of what I'll talk about.
Porn comics?
Yes. Yes. I got a 2-for-1 special for y'all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that like a double penetration kind of thing?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Can you talk about the Devil's Three-Way?
Oh, not familiar with the Devil's Three-Way.
The Devil's Three-Way, yeah. Two guys and a girl?
Well, see, I knew about the DP and about the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, see, no, well, there's a three-way, and all guys think, when you think of three-way, you think about, you know, two girls and a guy. But... The Devil's Three-Way.
Is the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, there's other places you can stick it, but...
Armpits?
We'll keep going.
So, okay. So, from last week's podcast, we were talking about this comic that someone's creating with Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
And it
led us into Carnal Comics.
Yeah. So, Carnal Comics number one. Does this cover look like... The cover that you saw and it's just me.
Yeah, it's just you because yeah. Lindsay Lohan, once she was like posing for her mugshot, like flashing like a little sign.
Oh, well, without seeing this cover, that's what I. Anyway,
that's exactly what the cover is.
Kevin likes to visualize what he likes to visualize.
Well, I haven't whipped this thing out since...
Oh, it's the Whip It Out Long Box. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't looked at this in probably 15 years.
Wow.
So I glanced through it real quick. I didn't read it again because, really, the Carnal Comics, it takes porn stars and they're drawing their real-life story.
Like daddy molested them, and that's why they got in the porn.
No, they don't go anything like that. They talk about their upbringing, what it's like eating people out in the movies, and how they love cock and shit like that.
Wow, let me see this.
No,
thing.
but then there is actually like some sort of story. It's not just a 26 page. Book about how they're banging people. No, they actually take... There is actually a little bit of story. It's pretty weak, but... Carnal Comics, it was only a handful of issues, because...
Wow.
Only the real pervs really wanted to know more about...
And these are very graphic.
Yeah.
I mean, they aren't kidding when they say adults only on the cover.
Yeah.
Hold on, Tony. I'm not done yet.
I don't really... particularly care for porn stars.
Wow.
I'm an amateur kind of guy.
That is graphic as hell.
All right. Well, let's do a quick palate cleanse.
Please.
Okay. Last podcast you were talking about Robin Hood with the Y.
Yes.
Okay. So it made me think about Green Arrow annual 1991. And I hate annuals, really. But
we've discussed about other people that hate annual.
Yeah. But and I just brought this up. I brought this out of the box just because of the connection.
It's a Robin Hood story, is what you're telling me.
You have Green Lantern and this girl that she's banging. I don't know much about the Green Lantern story, but all of a sudden she gets dizzy in the modern world, and then. Green Arrow and this girl wake up in Sherwood Forest and...
Does he finish? That's all I really care about.
There's a story that says similar lines to the Robin Hood story where, surprise, surprise, Green Arrow is Robin Hood. And the story's... It works out
better that way, because if he was Little John, I don't know how effective he'd be with the staff. But
It's an average story.
It's an annual.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know, if you're really into
Robin Hood
or the Green Arrow, maybe pick it up. But I just thought it was an interesting connection, and I like connecting the dots.
Nice.
So
cool. So that does it. Kevin has now officially put his long box away. He's unleashed it, and now he's
wrapping the bag up.
He's sheathed it. So
Tony, I noticed you handed back the Carnal comics with a big smile on your face.
Yeah, Tony's not standing up for a while. So
let's
I just open it up and like, what's up? There's a spider right there.
Oh no, that's a brown star.
That's it.
let's get into a little news. Let's go right from DC to DC. Justice League movie spoiler. Darkseid is going to be the villain, apparently.
Did not see that one coming, especially with his alter ego
Thanos
on the Marvel side.
Well, although we did a little research because we weren't sure, and Darkseid did appear 3 years earlier in the comics than Thanos did. But, you know, for the layperson who only watches the movies, they're going to think, DC, you're just ripping off Marvel's character. So, I don't know if that's necessarily the best play.
Well, it'll get them, though, to maybe look up some of the... Back those issues when Thanos first debuted, when Darkseid first debuted and everything, Jim Starlin created both characters. Those runs were epic in, as far as comic book series. So maybe it will get some people on one side or the other to be like, why do these two characters look the same? They'll find out it's the same writer, same person that created them, and maybe read some of those runs. So yes, I'm going to, being more of a Marvel fanboy, say copycats. But
Well, I read an article, which I'm not going to say who because I don't want to talk poorly about them, but they actually said that Darkseid is DC's version of Thanos, which is technically the reverse. So, you know, but anyway, I mean, and it took me all of 30 seconds to look both Thanos and Darkseid up on Wikipedia and see who appeared first. But, Tony, what else do you have?
Well, I just found out today something just random, but The Walking Dead, the game, won the Spike Video Game Awards.
Woo!
Which means jack shit, but...
Yeah, so I've heard of it. I mean,
it's a downloadable game.
Oh, okay. So like for
kind of like
your tablet.
Well, I wouldn't say Farmville, but yeah, kind of like.
No, I thought it was for like PlayStation and.
Is it like a network game?
I thought you could do it on your computer.
Or is this a game that you actually like? It started retailing at $60.
No, you only download like story segments, from what I understand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a segmented, so after you finish that, you can go back.
Okay. You can buy the next chapter, buy the next chapter.
So similar to, like, the Back to the Future game.
Okay.
If you've never played it?
Didn't even hear about it.
Oh.
Kevin's living it, Back to the Future.
Yeah. that's why I brought it up. No, I've heard of it a little bit. I got a lot of games in my queue to play, but if you're looking for something, at least... do the quick trial of the Back to the Future game. It's an interesting take on the movie series.
Okay.
And
from what I get from the Walking Dead game, because I have not played it, but from what I understand is choices that you make in the game determine how the game plays.
Yeah, you can download it PC, PS3, Xbox 360.
And basically you download chapters. So you buy it as each chapter, okay. Which, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, it's like, it's not as much out of your pocket at a time.
So what are we talking, like $10 a chapter, probably?
I don't know. It's looking right here, using the magic of Google, $29.99.
But is that like a whole bunch of chapters?
I think that's the whole thing.
The whole shebang.
Yeah, because I think I heard it was like $5 a chapter originally. But maybe I could be wrong.
Yeah, so probably also available on Steam, too.
Oh, for sure, it would be.
Yeah.
So, well, anyways, that's kind of cool. It makes me, you know, I like it when video game adaptions of comic books don't suck like Superman 64.
Oh God, there's, I mean, really, I can't even think of the one game before really downloadable content there was with a movie tie-in that actually was good.
Yeah,
I really can't think of one. They've all really
Double Dragon. You can't see it, but Kevin's shaking his head at me.
No.
All right, more news.
I don't know if you guys heard there's a 300 prequel sequel.
You know, I heard about this, like, this week, because the guy that played Xerxes did some interview where he was talking about, like, you know, coming back and playing that character in it, and they're saying that it's a sequel prequel.
Yes, what they're going to do, it's 300 Rise of an Empire, so it's taken the Persian Empire, their side of it. So obviously building up to going to the 300.
But there's supposedly a lot of stuff taking place during the same time of 300 and after and before. So it's like...
So is this original content?
I think
they didn't really explain... I don't think they really explained it in the article I read. Is I don't know if Mr. Miller made anything after 300.
I think 300 was its own thing.
I thought, though, he's consulting on the movie. Like,
I'm sure he has to.
He has to, because
obviously
he's getting paid.
Obviously, the movies don't follow directly to actual history, so there's licensing of, you know, as, what's his name, Rodrigo Santoro, who plays Xerxes, was saying, you know, they made him in the movie like a god. He's got a deep, booming voice, yeah. And talking about his character and get back in that role. But from what I was getting is, yes, it's going to be just kind of that side of it. So they can have in the middle of the movie saying, holy shit, we just got our asses kicked by these 300 men. And then what are we going to do afterwards? Do we go invade? Do we, you know, hightail it and run? But obviously you saw at the end of 300, if you read the comic book or the movie adaption, the other Spartans come and kind of kick their ass. So maybe you might see a little more of the fall of the Empire as well. But
yeah, speaking of movies, Kevin Smith announced via Twitter that Clerks 3 is going to be his last movie that he writes and directs.
Oh, he's retiring.
But I thought he already retired, so I don't buy this bullshit. I mean, I'm happy.
He's early 50s?
No, he's early 40s. Like, he's basically...
He's like Derek's age.
Yeah, he's a couple years older than me, I think.
Oh, really?
Or maybe my age, so he might be... He might be late 30s.
Seriously,
even.
Unless you're gray and you have trouble keeping a stool in you, don't say you're retiring. Really, I mean, you're not going to do it. Not if So if someone comes to you with like suitcases full of cash, you're going to say no to that.
Well, that's how he gets suitcases full of cash to do convention appearances.
Sure, absolutely, but he. He likes to do that. Now, whether...
I think he's kind of... Honestly, I think he's burned out, which I think that's why he's...
Yeah, but he's probably going to take a break, and he'll eventually do something else down the road. I really think that, because you don't... It's like actors say, I'm retired. No, it's in you. You're built for that. There's going
to
be a passion.
I think he'd be smart to retire.
I think he's doing a disservice, though, to other people. With what he... All of his movies obviously aren't huge blockbusters.
No.
But yes, but they are also, well, okay, with the exception of that, they also have, though, a nerd fan base, and they are what's talked about at all the cons. They are the movies that we want to go see. So to take that away from us is a disservice to us. Now, I understand, you know, personal choices, but his vision for his movies are just phenomenal. Like, they are pop culture,
you know,
everything.
Here's my thing, though. When it comes to Clerks 3... Unless you have an awesome fucking idea, don't do it. Like, I think Clerks 1 is brilliant for the independent film.
Absolutely brilliant.
Clerks 2, good story, and I think it was a good tie-up. Leave it there. I really don't think there's that much more to say.
True. Yeah, I mean, but he may have it and pull it out.
If he's got it, go for it.
I mean, Dogma, fucking... phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
That was Chase and Amy, which is more kind of serious, but
I love Chasing Amy.
Yeah, one fucking of my chasers. Top 10. Yes. So yeah. Everything he does, though, I've enjoyed. So that's where being the nerd in me doesn't want him to stop.
Jersey Girl. Did you enjoy Jersey Girl?
I don't think I saw that one.
Okay, and Jiggly, nobody enjoyed that.
No,
did you any of you guys see Red State?
No.
Yes, I enjoyed that.
Nope.
Yeah, haven't seen it.
Now apparently, he's doing something called Hit Somebody that's going to be like a 6-episode TV miniseries, okay. Which originally was supposed to be the movie, but decided to do that for TV.
But he's doing it like he's writing it, directing it.
I think writing, directing.
Okay.
So, but that originally I think people had thought was going to be his final film, but then since that's doing TV, he wants to do one more film. So there's that. One other little news and notes. We talked about it briefly last week. Marvel's X-Termination, which is Wolverine fighting Age of Apocalypse Nightcrawler.
Can this microphone pick up my eye roll?
Yeah, I think I heard the rattle. I'm happy about this because it's only going to be a 3-issue crossover between Astonishing X-Men, Extreme X-Men, and Age of Apocalypse. So it's not a huge, like, event. So there you go. I will pick up the Astonishing X-Men because
I'm picking up Age of Apocalypse already, so we can.
Yeah, swap and out. I'm not picking up Extreme X-Men, so somebody's going to have to. Yes. We'll rock paper scissors.
Extreme. I have to say though, out of all the stories that like you know, oh, the next big thing's coming, or the next this is going to happen, and this is the big event. This is the one that's actually the most based in. I can see this happening. I mean, it's about Age of Apocalypse Nightcrawler thinking this world is a little too perfect. He just can't grasp it, and he wants to go back to Age of Apocalypse world.
Well, and that's I like what the
this
fact
whole
that
thing is about.
I do like the fact that this story apparently is about the 3 different universes that are colliding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy about the fact that it is a 3-issue crossover series. So if you don't want to buy all 3, you don't have to. It's not going to be earth-shattering if you don't. But it's a great way to introduce you to other titles that you may not be reading. Good job, Marvel. Keeping it simple.
Yes.
Because I'm sick of the big fucking events in comics right now. That's me. Speaking of other things about people arguing about comics or comic-related things, this is the oddest story that I've seen recently. A guy and not his buddy, but his cousin were drinking, which we like to do. And they're drinking their cocktails out of Marvel Comics related glasses. Cousin drops one and breaks them, and the other guy stabs him to death with scissors. What the fuck?
Now,
are you that big of a... And looking at the guy's picture, maybe it's just me and maybe I'm prejudging. It doesn't really seem like he's a collector.
Reporter, what I'm disappointed in the reporting on this, they don't mention if it was a collectible glass or not.
Right.
Or this piece of shit of glass set that you can get at Target stores for $20.
Yeah, or...
You know,
or
was it like a 1970s limited run...
From Pizza Hut?
Yeah. Was it something like that? Then, alright, I get pissed. Of course, I wouldn't kill anyone over it, but I understand getting pissed. I'm like... Oh no, you dropped my Iron Man mug that I got for $3.
I guess ultimately, even me as a collector, and the reason I'm bringing this up, there is nothing I collect or own or would like to own that is worth that much. You know, and so I love collecting, and I'm basically bringing it up going, here's a good example of where fanboys really need to keep that difference between fantasy and reality.
So you're not going to kill me if I... pull that shit on you?
Nah.
Yay.
I'll just hit you with a bat. I mean, I'd paralyze you, but...
Derek, I was scratching my crotch with your Thunderbolts number 1 earlier.
Oh, that's earlier. That's fine.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't...
Okay.
You know, it's not like my Daredevil number 30 that Stan Lee signed.
Well,
I'm okay with that.
I figure I better just let you know.
All right, so...
I have a... something from the interwebs for everyone. It is a mature comic, to say the least.
So it's Kevin will like it.
Yes, it's a web-based comic. It's called oglaf.com.
Oglaf.
Yes, and I have for the life of me tried to on their actual page, they don't have anything but really the story. And there's really not much to know what that stands for. So readers, if you guys have read, or listeners, if you've read this, let me know what that stands for. But overall, it's a fantasy sex joke comic. Like, there's a lot of nudity. There's a lot of gratuitous sex going on, set in a fantasy world, and it's fucking funny. I mean, just the opening little story arc, the cum sprite.
Wow.
Which I think I showed you that, right? The cum sprite?
Tell me more.
Oh, you have showed this to me.
Yes.
Oh, my God,
and,
yeah.
And where it's following this apprentice, well, there's a lot of different scenes, a lot of different stuff going on in this webcomic, but overall, it seems like the main story arc is this apprentice guy who isn't really allowed to have sex because his evil sorcerer lady won't let him. And then she's not allowed. She pretty much can't do anything. And he then found out one day he's cursed, and he masturbates, and he's got these little cum sprites that come out to go tell the queen. And that's just one of the ongoing jokes in this thing.
I'll admit, I mean, like, I did read a couple of these. They are funny. Definitely adult. Definitely the, you got to be the right kind of humor. And I mean, for as much as I love the dick and fart jokes, and we're all about them, you know, which especially the last two episodes, holy shit. But yeah, it's worth a look.
Yes. I mean, like I said, you start from the beginning, and I'm only halfway through this.
But easily offended, don't go there.
Yes. And one of the things too, it has alt text. So if you scroll your cursor over the thing, it'll tell you something else about the comic book. And then there's always these quotes up at the top on each of the pages. Some of them repeat a lot, some of them not. Like this one says, "If God hates masturbation so much, he should give me a girlfriend." Other just wise words of saying of sex and blah, blah, blah. So it also teaches you a thing or two.
I think next week we're going to have like a puppies and kittens episode just to kind of clean ourselves up.
The one episode your children can listen to.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, Tony, should we take a little trip down the Indy Turnpike?
Yes.
All right. So, for listeners that haven't heard us before that are still tuned in right now, this is kind of our chance to showcase a book each week that's not from the big two. Hopefully, we can kind of spread a little love to a comic that you may not have looked at or even heard from. So, this week I picked up, for Indie Turnpike, Kevin, House of Fun from Dark Horse Comics, written and drawn by Evan Dorkin. This book is a collection of 1-to-6-page stories and comic strips that were previously published in Dark Horse Comics Presents number 10 through 12 earlier this year. Kevin brought up Milk and Cheese a few weeks ago, and for those of you that haven't had any luck tracking down some of the older issues, this is a great chance to introduce yourself to some of those lovable dairy products gone bad. I still love Milk and Cheese, but I have to say some of my favorite stories in this book were in the single strip style comics, particularly Broken Robot, which is just a great, and there's a couple of them there. One single one was Haiku for the Ancient Submariner, and it's a haiku about Submariner, and it's great. Also, a single strip called The Rejected Make-A-Wish Applicants. They were really funny. Now, is every story or strip in this book an absolute zinger and laugh riot? No. But I still found myself laughing out loud multiple times while reading this book. The only thing that kind of surprised me is I opened it up and found it was full color. I expected black and white like the old Milk and Cheese. But great one there. I'm going to jump right into Booze in a Book from here, unless you... Kevin, you're kind of reading, yeah, and relishing.
Oh, we're still on.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna lend that to you because you really I know.
Oh
that.
Yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate it because I mean I really dig Milk and Cheese, and this is definitely a lot more than Milk and Cheese.
Yeah, I mean like there's like the murder family.
I'm really digging these little comic strip
style. Yeah, yeah. Some of them pages are just fucking hilarious.
Oh my gosh, this is awesome. Cool.
There's one thing in here, like they're talking about like how a Batman crossover, studies show Batman crossovers boost comic sales up to 80%, and the source for the study was Scotch and Wikipedia. I mean, Evan Dorkin's great. I mean, go check this book out. It's a great introduction to a completely different style of comic books than a lot of people are used to. So, Booze in a Book this week This was one that I was really tempted to use as my main pick this week, but it's Colder number 2 of 5 from Dark Horse Comics, written by Paul Tobin, art by Juan Ferreira. And I talked about the first issue a month ago when it came out, and I honestly had something else picked out to go in this spot at one point, but after reading this book, it kind of made sense to pair this with a big glass of Crown Royal Black, which I'm drinking right now. I recommend this whiskey be served chilled, on the rocks, or personally, how I prefer it, served neat. These two match up so well together. They're really complex. They've got a quality well above their counterparts, and they both have one hell of a finish to it. So go buy some Crown Royal Black and go buy Colder. That's it. I don't think I have anything left for Last Call this week because we kind of covered them all.
Yeah, we pretty much did.
Yeah. No, actually, we covered everything that I had originally for Last Call.
The only thing I got for Last Call is Red Lantern 14. It's in the story arc of Rise of the Third Army.
Nice.
I'm digging this story arc, and this is the first one I probably have gotten into since Civil War.
Wow.
So
since the Civil War, holy shit.
Well, Kevin's really
I traveled back in time, you know, and I know about the Civil War.
Fucking portals, man.
Yeah. You know,
wow.
You know, Grant and Appalachian.
Robert E. Lee was your homeboy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, cool, guys. Please make sure you go check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Lots of fun shit on Facebook. Lots of conversations on Twitter. Great places. Also, go to our website, drunkoncomics.com. You can see our artist alley. We're going to be updating more shit this weekend. We've kind of said we've been for the last couple weeks, but life gets in the way every once in a while. But this weekend, we will be doing it. You know, we put up random posts every once in a while, but just a great place to go and check stuff out. So I think that does it.
Yeah, I am all set to check out Kevin's DeLorean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm parked there right out front. Yeah, it's
that's awesome because I do hear the flux capacitor warming up right now. So, all right, guys, I'm Derek. On behalf of Tony,
that's me.
On behalf of Kevin,
hi.
On behalf of Matt, who's not here, from all of us at Drunk on Comics, keep reading those comic books, and we will be back again next week to talk about them later. Hey, you got
jumping
that?
Gigawatts. That's what I say.